Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout, no reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning. Welcome in, everybody.
Zach Jones and Derek Kramer hanging with you here on a beautiful Wednesday morning. The Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We did get mandatory minicamps underway yesterday. A full attendance, 100%. Teachers used to pray for those days. You used to get presents on those days in school when it was like a week of perfect attendance. Beautiful. Some injuries, but good news on that, and maybe why we won't spend too much time on it. McDermott seemed to indicate none of them are going to carry into training camp, including Joey Bosa, who I saw some videos about him running around. So looks a lot better. But, of course, with it being 100% attendance, does mean James Cook, of course, was there. We knew that at around this time yesterday, a little bit after. But along with that, and we talked to Derek with Sal Capaccio yesterday about it, we didn't know what his participation would be.
Right. And guess what?
Turns out it was the whole thing.
Once again, I was mostly right.
Were you 100%? Did you think he was going to participate? I thought he would kind of hang out.
I was kind of like, he might show up and just not do anything, but be in meetings, everything like that. But however, I did put my money where my mouth was on that sort of thing. There was a friendly wager made with one Owen across the hallway there.
Poor Owen's been here less than a year. He already took his money. That's rough.
Yes.
That's rough.
But it was friendly.
It was very friendly. By the third bet that he loses, it stops being friendly.
Well, hang on. He tried doing like the I got favored odds.
Yeah.
He was like, I'll give you 15, you'd give me 10. And I'm like, no, I'm just going to take the 10.
We did discover what the push would have been. The push would have been if he showed up and did nothing.
Correct.
That would have been the push.
But yesterday, sitting down knowing I don't have to give anyone money is
right.
Great.
At the worst,
I keep my money. I'm like James Cook. I like my money.
And yeah, he did. What was funny, I was with Sal. I didn't know if Cook would speak.
Right.
I mean, I'd made the jokes that, oh no, he's here just to pull Trey Hendrickson. He's going to blast the Bills with the media. I never really thought that was going to happen, but it was the thought that came to my head. He did, though, speak with the media.
Right.
And that's something we don't often hear. We don't hear from Cook all that much. He's not Dion. He's not Josh. He's not Matt Milano either on the other side, but we don't hear from him much. But I liked how candid he was about, like, I don't really want to get fined. Like, that,
right.
That's really what it was.
It's quite now, frankly, it'll cost me money. I'm good.
He did mention, though, he likes being with his teammates. He wants to work towards winning a Super Bowl. He'd said all the good things.
As we all could have read.
Yeah.
He was going to be here to be a Buffalo Bill this year.
Yeah. And so that ultimately is what it is. We'll get a little bit more on Cook just because it's mandatory minicamps. He was the big story going into this. But me and you acknowledged last week, if he was here this week, and now that he was at least participating for a day in what is effectively just OTAs, except now mandatory, like nothing changes. Sal said that to us yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of stops being a story even going into training camp because he even said that yesterday, that he'll be there. He may not participate. It may end up being a hold-in when he gets to training camp.
Right.
He didn't totally shut the door there. Fine. It's not like he's a rookie who I'm like, dude, you need to get reps. Like, you need to – nope. Can move on. I'm fine with that.
And not only that, it just has to be one of these things that we all now have to embrace, which is, realistically, cap-wise, is this James Cook's last season as a Bill?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to necessarily think about it before we get through a majority of the season.
Yeah, well, you don't want that specter looming over the season of,
we've
got two more games with James Cook kind of deal.
But I will say, probably this is the only time I'll say the sentiment up until like maybe the last days of watching James Cook.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this. I'm expecting to miss James Cook as a Buffalo Bill.
Mm-hmm.
It's something I said about Tremaine Edmonds the last year of his contract. I'm going to miss him when he's gone. Because I knew that he was going to price himself into free agency with the career year he was having on the last year of his deal. I think I'm already at that stage with Cook where I'm like, I don't think he's going to be retained. The Bills don't have room for this, and that's okay. Especially if he goes and gets.
But there are still also questions. Do the Bills value the position in terms of a second contract?
Yeah.
And yes, he's the first one to really, truly earn it, but they may still sit there and go, no, we'll take another guy in the second round. We have Ray Davis, who we took with a quote-unquote high pick. They can move on. I can understand it. And this will always be the thing with James Cook. And it is somewhat frustrating because I think he is a very good player. I do not think he is a great player. They don't use him particularly at all on third downs. Ty Johnson is openly, by Josh Allen, considered one of the best third down running backs in football. They don't use him more than 50% of their offensive snaps. And when you look at his compatriots that he wants to get paid like, that is a stark difference.
Yep.
If he wants to get paid like Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry, that's why we discuss him in those frameworks. Because I think everyone can acknowledge he's not with them. But when he wants to get paid like that, it's where, and this is where you will often hear agents say, teams say, we don't really want the player involved in the negotiations. Things are said that can hurt some feelings. Remember when Lamar Jackson was coming up on his deal? That was a big part of it of like, this may hurt the relationship. The fact that he is representing himself and things will be said.
Things will be said.
That for the most part, the team would have loved to have kept behind closed doors between agent and the team.
Anything contract mediation within the NHL.
Yeah.
And the fact that like those hearings have to go to a judge and the agent and maybe even the player straight up hear the words that the team has to argue to try to keep a price down.
Mm-hmm.
Those are potentially damaging things that get said during mediation.
Yeah.
But again, yesterday it was, there are not many ways, better ways that James Cook goes about this.
Mm-hmm.
There's not many better options on how to go about it. The crux of Cook's story here is, I'm doing well at my job. I would like to get paid more, please. There's no, like, outwardly demands more than just, like, he's just posting, this would be great. I want this kind of money.
It's kind of it, actually,
He's not saying, or else. Mm-hmm. It's just, this would sound cool. That's a normal thing. And I think that players looking for another contract will want to pay attention to what this saga ends with for James Cook.
Mm-hmm.
It could ultimately backfire. You know, there's things about it. But when it comes to a strategy, again, I feel like Bills fans were getting more annoyed with Dalvin Cook than James Cook.
It did feel like that at times.
It's like, Dalvin, stop, please. Come on, man. Like,
or in reality, it just became like, but what is Dalvin saying him? Like, we know he waited for it. That was maybe the most frustrating thing, and I brought it up to Stephon Diggs. Diggs was almost at a point open about everything.
Right.
Because he was never fully committal to the Bills and to Buffalo in particular.
Almost detrimentally so.
Yeah. And really the complete opposite to how Josh Allen operates. And those two were married at the hip. I mean, like, that's always, or attached to the hip. That's what it was. Where Cook has just been retweeting a few things, excited running backs are getting paid. And he mentioned that in his spot with the media as well, that everything running backs do, they should get paid more. Really, all of us know running backs do a ton. It's their shelf life.
Right.
In the modern day, it is tough to get 10 good years out of a running back, let alone great years.
It does not happen anymore.
It just doesn't happen.
Based on the physicality of the position and the decline in market interest of holding on to a player at that position, 10 years with the same team as a running back is nowadays impossible. let alone even 10 years of elite production from a running back, is tough to witness.
Yep.
You don't often see it. There's one without the other, Derrick Henry.
Yep.
He's not on the Titans anymore.
Yeah, they ultimately did move off of him. Saquon Barkley's a 2,000-yard rusher when he goes to the Eagles.
But
I don't totally know how much the Giants, if you really sat them down, would complain about that. I think they'd complain more about paying $40 million to Daniel Jones.
Which also was outwardly said in Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
As a reason that they don't sign Barkley is because Daniel Jones has this amount of money that needs to be proven.
Yeah. It's not that running backs aren't valuable, but it is one of those things where the value has decreased over the years. When as the quarterback's value has increased, the running backs has decreased, and now you are seeing that where, you know, Derrick Henry goes to Baltimore. Baltimore was the one seed the year prior. They technically, if we're just looking at it, had a worse year.
They did.
They were not the one seed. They only make the division round. They technically had a worse year. The Eagles, and Mike Schoep brought this up yesterday, were 11-1 before a collapse by their coaching staff and everybody. And then they lose in the wild card round. But they're still a great team when Saquon Barkley shows up. Oh, now I will argue Saquon was huge for them last year and is a big reason why they won the Super Bowl.
Right.
They were able to really lean on him at times. And the big plays by him were maybe the most important, because when that passing game went away a lot in the later end of the later stages of the year last year, Saquon's huge runs were massive.
Look at the Rams playoff game. They don't survive that without Saquon Barkley just apparently taking it personally with the Rams.
Yeah, it did it to him twice that year.
Yeah, but he is waving goodbye on a run in a game that ultimately the Rams come back and put a real scare into that.
Yeah,
but that's how dominant he was in that game. Running backs, though. It's seeming like right now, because we've been dealing with this for years now, that running back is such a steep decline. There have been several drafts without one being even taken in an entire round open the draft.
It seems to take a quote-unquote generational guy to even go in the top 10.
At this point, that's the case, like Bijan Robinson or Ash Ngeenty at this point. Now, you're seeing it more commonplace, though, because I mentioned Robinson. I mentioned Ngeenty. Amarian Hampton taken in the first round. Like, running backs are starting to kind of get a little bit of a flavor again. And it has to do with how defenses are being called. One of the big issues with not seeing a lot of the deep ball prowess, which is, I would call it a complaint of the Bills fan base, is because of how defenses are calling a too high shell now. And it is very frequent across the league. It is not a Bills problem. It is a league-wide thing.
Mahomes was one of the worst deep ball passers the last 2 years.
And they even acquired someone to try to fix this. But the thing is that sometimes those defenses can't be beat on that either. It's just not a good idea. Outside of one time, thanks Chargers for being the Chargers.
It's a great play.
And letting Xavier Worthy just run by him in a straight line.
It's an unbelievable throw.
But also, if you need to draft a player just to try to fix the deep ball mechanic on your team, it's not what I would call a good investment on the position.
No, they ended up figuring out with Worthy a little bit later where it's like, just get him the ball.
Attack it horizontally with the speed. They figured out eventually, and part of it is also, the quarterback has to be better. But I don't begrudge the Bills for not necessarily worrying about the deep speed wide receiver option sort of thing. Mac Hollins was probably one of the better deep threats on this team last year. Cool. It is because, you're not going to suspect Mac Hollins to be the guy to do this.
No, that's right.
And also, we're going to play a lot of that too high shell. The Bills, and Joe Brady, to his credit, have acknowledged and adjusted proper.
Well, I mean, that's how they built the team. It was, we're going to have running backs. We're going to have quick, twitchy receivers who are, their whole job, get open as quickly as possible.
Right.
Look at what they added this year, too, in Josh Palmer and Elijah Moore. Palmer's whole thing in free agency was, I know the stats don't look great, but look at his separation numbers. He is incredible at that. And you put him with a more consistent quarterback. And let's be honest, I think
a better offensive coordinator. Yeah.
And I think the honeymoon with Justin Herbert is over. I think most of us acknowledge he's an all-world physical talent, but in terms of a quarterback talent, he's just simply not consistent enough.
I also think that he is hamstrung by Greg Roman.
Don't disagree, but we've had these years now with him under multiple coordinators of, okay, you got to figure it out eventually here, man. You've got to put it together. Again, think he's an all-world physical talent and probably mental talent as well, but he's not consistent enough. And you do wonder now with Palmer, I'm not saying he's going to light the world on fire, 1,200 yards, 15 touchdowns. No. But if he's a guy that puts up 700 yards, 4 touchdowns, but is getting open quickly and Allen's just able to get the ball out to him, same with Elijah Moore, same with Khalil Shakir, Keon Coleman seems to he's having a pretty good offseason.
I don't want to get too far from the point that I'm trying to make here about running backs.
Yes.
Because part of the Bills' offensive attack, though, also has to do with they run the football.
Mm-hmm.
They know the too high shell is a problem. And how do you counter when NFL defenses are now going to a base of nickel? We're bigger than you, and we're running through you. That Dallas game is unforgettable in that sense of Dan Quinn dogmatically calling a base defense for the Dallas Cowboys of dime.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one linebacker playing out there.
Never moved off of it.
He didn't move off of it, and Joe Brady said, to heck with the script. Let's just run the football. We're bigger than them if they're going to keep running dime, and we're just going to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if he made it through his 15 scripted plays.
Well, I mean, didn't Brady brought that up in the postgame. It's like, we had a different plan. And why move off of it, though? Or why move off of what was working?
Why like, this worked, and we're like, we're just going to get away from that. And I think that the league is starting to recognize that more. Running backs are having themselves better seasons than in, like, what, 3-4 years past?
Mm-hmm.
It almost seems like not an overcorrection, but a slight correction of the effectively take the running back position out back, and like, that's the end of the story. Like, there's no Old Yellering of the running back position anymore.
No, when they're like 26, 27, it's like, ah, they're basically done already.
Look at the segment that Louis DiBiase, Joe's brother, he tormented him with.
That's
hey,
tough.
Here's running backs that you're just as old as, and Todd Gurley's name comes up, and it's like, you think that Todd Gurley is like
35.
Yeah. But he's not.
Him, though, it was I think
there were so many devastating injuries.
He had lower body arthritis.
Yeah.
And that's what just ended
his career.
He had
two major knee surgeries.
I mean, it was done for him.
Before college was over.
That's right. Yep. Yeah, he came into the NFL sort of hand tied behind his back of like, it's going to be a tough road for you.
Like, damaged knees, man. Like, is this first round pick going to be worth it?
Now, I do wonder, though, with ultimately the running backs having this bit of a renaissance, I do wonder, though, if it's still going to be the
they still won't get paid.
Because still, nothing has changed on this front. Getting 8 to 10 years out of you, not happening. Where in other positions, you can have a wide receiver playing elite ball into their early 30s. We know quarterbacks now, your prime is kind of when you hit 30.
It is.
Edge rushers, we talk about all the time, 34, 35, 36, still playing at a high level if injuries have not hurt them.
If it points to the evidence of it. It's why drafting them earlier is making more sense and more commonplace than it is to sign one more.
Yep.
It's because what's the wear and tear on your body after your first NFL contract?
Mm-hmm.
Can I get a first-round pick and get effectively an investment out of you for 5 seasons? Cool. We did our job. It's a good pick. We'll deal with that afterward. Very rarely do you see the big boy contract for a running back after they are selected.
Yeah.
4 or 5 years, depending on the round that you're taking, and we're already probably moving on because the position is still the most physically challenging in sports. It's every time that you are involved in the offense,
you are getting hit.
Mm-hmm. Or you are being able to deliver some of it back yourself. But ultimately, most plays for running backs end with you're getting hit.
Yep. In some way.
Oh, running a route, ball might go to you. You might get hit. Oh, you're not running a route, you're pass blocking, you're hitting somebody.
Yeah.
You're running the ball,
you're getting hit. You're getting hit. It is going to be fascinating to see if this continues. It does help, though, and this has been true almost forever. Running backs, I'd say almost more than any position in football, hit the fastest.
Yes.
Rookie year running backs oftentimes can even have their best year, their rookie years. Look at Zeke Elliott.
Yes.
His best statistical year was year number one. Saquon Barkley, really up until this season, his best year, his first season. So you can draft these guys
Derrick
in
Henry
round
right
one.
Out the gate was awesome.
Awesome. He ended up getting better once Tennessee's like, oh, okay, I get your 6'3", 230, but you don't need to run up the middle all the time. You are faster. Like, they really figured out his third year, but he's also got the longevity that's absurd. But that has also, I think, opened up the idea of maybe first, second round picks for running backs, because out of the gate, they can often be your best option at the position and can really be an asset to your offense, where receivers, as much as we talk about them, can take a year or two to really develop. Rounds two, three, four, whatever. They can take some years to develop. Quarterbacks, we all kind of know. Well, yes, there are some that can pop right away. Jaden Daniels, Drake May to a certain extent. Allen, though, took a little bit of time. Lamar took a little bit of time. But by years two, three, they're off to the races, and they have longer careers, where it's almost poetic in the sense that, like, yeah, running backs don't have to take that. Fourth-round rookie running backs can hit. Bucky Irving can hit right out of the gate. But because of that, it also just almost naturally makes sense that their career will be a little bit shorter. Because, in quote,
Kyren
it kind of starts earlier.
Kyren Williams. What was it, 83% snap share last year?
87 last year, and I think the year prior was 84.
Like, they know they're going to have to use every bit of that player that they can. One, because their running back room is not very good.
It's Kyren Williams.
Well,
and Blake Corum. He was used like every third series or something like that. Mike Shope is bringing this up because I know fantasy-wise, Blake Corum was a tough sell for that reason, because it was like, okay, when he's on the field, he's got like a drive, and then we're right back to Kyren Williams. So if it's a three and out, you might be saying goodbye to a quarter of production for him.
So ultimately, though, it is this, like, there's a renaissance of usage of running backs again based on defenses, how they're structured, how they're called, and how the passing game has evolved.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean that the position is going to make its comeback contractually. When Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, they all get decent deals in free agency. However, that's when you look and go, that's when you're James Cook's agent. You go, maybe there's a shot we can get something from a team. Mm-hmm. It might not be the Bills, but it might be somewhere else in free agency.
Yep. 803.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout, no reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
0550, the number to call. Didn't talk too much on Bills practice yesterday, and that's, well, because coming up next, Sal Capaccio, who is down at One Bills Drive, he'll be there today and tomorrow as well, as Bills wrap up OTAs tomorrow, will join us after a quick timeout. But if you want to join the show, 803-0550, the number to call. Bills may end up having a very boring summer with James Cook attending. How are you feeling about that? We'll discuss all of that when we come back. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and this is WGR.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And that music does mean we are joined on the Western Hotline by our own Sal Capaccio as we get ready for day number two of Mandatory Minicamp, with practice expected to start in just about 2 hours at 12:30. Sal, good morning, my friend. How are we doing today?
Pretty good, guys. Good morning to you. Yep. A little bit later for here for minicamp than what we normally get for a, I guess, training camp schedule would be a little earlier, but also during the season. Normally during the season, the team is on the field late morning, but you know, during mini camp, it's a little bit later. Meetings throughout the morning, and then practice today at 12:30 p.m. Tomorrow's back to an 11 a.m. practice, by the way.
Yeah, I do remember, like, tomorrow's going to be like they get through practice, and then everyone get out, enjoy your vacation. Let's get to training camp ready and strong to go.
Yeah, for sure. So we'll see. We'll see today if there's any change to the status of some of the injured players who did not practice yesterday. That was a bit of a storyline. Now that we know that James Cook is there and he's participating, that's kind of gone away. So, yeah, that was the big deal yesterday. And then, you know, obviously some of the guys who were injured, and Sean McDermott, though, did say that he does not believe that any of the guys injured yesterday, anything should leak into training camp. They're going to be really extra precautionary right now, guys.
Yeah, and speaking of that, for those that missed it, who are those players that did not end up participating yesterday that if they didn't see the report on the website at WGR550.com, Sal did have the latest from minicamp.
Yeah, so both safeties, Cole Bishop and Damar Hamlin. If you want to say safety Cam Lewis, that's three safeties. We caught him as a defensive back. He's kind of does a little bit of everything there. Defensive end Joey Bosa, we knew about him and his calf injury already. Center Connor McGovern, wide receiver KJ Hamler, linebacker Baylen Spector, running back Ty Johnson. None of them practiced yesterday. During practice, Alec Anderson, he appeared to have something, maybe tweak something, whatever. I don't know exactly what happened, but trainers came out. They wrapped up his upper part of his leg. He did not do any more reps, but he never went inside. So that's always a good sign. When a guy stays on the field, it's a good sign that you hope everything's okay. I also saw him afterwards. He seemed like he was in good spirits and walking around the field house. Taron Johnson had a red non-contact jersey on, but he did practice yesterday, something he's been dealing with, a torn labrum surgery. Tore his labrum last year, had surgery. But the other guys, quite a bit of a list. But, you know, look, again, so a guy like Cole Bishop, for example, so everybody knows how this works. Like, I saw him, he was on the stationary bike when the team was doing offense against defense. Like, he didn't take any reps. But when the defense was alone and just doing a walkthrough, he was with the defense. So just goes to show you, like, they're doing some things. They're just not fully participating, a lot of these guys.
Moving off from the injury, Sal, you did mention there, James Cook. We knew when we were talking to you yesterday that he would be at least in attendance. We didn't know to what extent. He did participate, and not only that, he did actually speak with the media as well. There has, of course, been the quote running around. You know, I didn't hear the question exactly, but James White here, I like my money. There was more, though, to it as well. And so, Sal, what did you take away from his appearance?
Yeah, I think it's kind of interesting because, like, I love him for being honest, right? Mm-hmm, I love that. Yep. I love the honesty part of it. It's kind of the different version of I'm just here so I won't be fined.
I love it.
Really what it is, right? He said, I like my money. That's why he said, I do. I really do. That's why I'm here. That's what he said. And he had a smile on his face. And look, I mean, if he missed, he would have had a fine of $17,000 for day one. If he misses day two, it's an additional $32,000-$33,000. If he misses day three, it's an additional $52,000-$53,000. So it's like $104,000 added up. He didn't want to be fined. He wanted his money. He said that. Now, that being said, he was also asked, okay, well, you could be here and not do anything, right? What we call hold in. You could come to practice. You're here. You report. You don't get fined. But you could say, I'm not doing anything. I'm not risking anything. I'm trying to go through this contract thing. And that's when he also said that he's a leader. And it's his team, and he wants to be there for his teammates, and he likes being out there with the guys, and they have goals, and they want to win a Super Bowl. So, you know, I think if people hear the quote or see the quote, I like my money, I think it kind of paints a picture of, okay, this guy, that's all about, he's all about the, only about the money. That's the only reason why he's with his team. But I will say, in addition to that context, he also said he could just, like, not do anything and still keep his money. But he said, hey, I mean, this is my team. I want to be out there with the guys. So I think there's that part of it, too, which, you know, speaks to James' character as a football player and teammate.
Sal, I heard you had asked in particular yesterday to James Cook that, like, you were asking about the communication, how things have been going between him and the team. And that response was, at the very least, like, it's still at least steady as it goes from what I gathered his answer on.
Yeah, so I got the sense, you know, just from, so you take his answer and you take what Sean McDermott has said and what Brandon Bean has said about their communication, and I think you can just kind of pile it up into they've been communicating. But it doesn't have to be about, are you going to be here? You're not going to be here. It's just, hey, probably regular discussions. How's everything going? You staying in shape? Hope to see you. Those kinds of things. That's my interpretation of just, hey, we've had good conversations, good relationships. So, you know, James made it clear, like, there's no ill will here towards anybody. There's a business side of this, which we all know. You know, he's not mad at anybody. He wants to be paid and he wants to be compensated and believes that, you know, for what he does, what his position entails, what he's accomplished, you know, he wants to have a contract extension paying him a certain value. And right now that's not happening from the Bills side. And from the Bills point of view, they're not mad at James Cook. You know, hey, he's got to do what he's got to do. as Brandon Bean said a couple months ago, James is a grown man. He can make his decisions on how he wants to go about this. But we love James and Jimbo, they call him, right? He said, we love Jimbo, and he's a very big part of the Bills organization. So I don't think it's gotten to the point, guys, of anything super contentious between anyone personally, you know, right? I don't think it's super contentious between James Cook and the Buffalo Bills front office, between him and Brandon Bean, certainly not between him and Sean McDermott, who's his head coach. I think, though, there's this underlying, okay, like at some point we'd really like to get something done here, and James is in a I think James Cook's in a tough spot because he is under contract. If he doesn't show up, he does get fined, but he wants to be paid, and you know, he believes that there's a certain value that he's worth to this organization. And I think that at some point, this could wind up coming to another head. Maybe that's at training camp at the beginning of it. Maybe it's during the season as we're going along, and not saying that like all of a sudden he's not there. But I mean, like we're starting to talk about like James Cook and his contract situation and where all this goes. Maybe it's not until after the 2025 season.
Yeah.
Maybe we're sitting here going, hey, in February, okay, he played out his deal. Are you going to sign him? Are you going to franchise tag him? Are you going to transition tag him? It could really linger all the way through there. And I kind of suspect that that could be the case.
Mm-hmm. Sal Capaccio here on the West Hurt Hotline. Sal, I do want to get your thoughts before we run out of time here on some of the other hold-ins, hold-outs, players not reporting to mandatory minicamps because, as you brought up, I mean, there hasn't really been any really ill will, bad blood between the Bills and James Cook. The same cannot be said for another AFC team that I do want to get to. But do want to touch on practice yesterday. Any notable moments? Yeah. I mean, knowing it's essentially OTAs just mandatory, was there anything that really stood out to you?
Yeah, look, I understand too. Like everybody points, I get a lot of people who point out to me, doesn't mean anything. They're in shorts. That's fine. You don't have to like football right now. You don't have to, but it's my job to cover it. And I enjoy watching football right now. And, you know, I like watching these guys do their jobs and kind of gain some information and insight into what we're seeing from some of them. I think that yesterday, what stood out to me was Joe Andreessen having a really nice day, including an interception of Josh Allen. Did a really nice job to drop from his linebacker spot, kind of got his hands on a ball that was a crosser over the middle. And he initially got his hands on it, kind of popped up, and then he secured it. So he did a really good job to stay with it and then take it back the other way. You know, Joe looks a little bit bigger to me. I think that, you know, a year into the Bills system, you know, last year he was going to these workouts trying to hook on with a team, as we know. And then he got in with the Bills, and, you know, everything's kind of come at you so fast. Now his feet are here. He knows it's where he grew up. Obviously he's comfortable, but more than that, it's just being in an organization, being in a system, being with these trainers and coaches year round, I think has been really beneficial for him, obviously. Still more, I think, good meshing between Josh Allen and Elijah Moore. I think Josh Palmer also is in that mix. Again, you're not, you know, going out there and trying to, you know, hit anybody if you're a defensive back. And it's a lot easier kind of complete passes in this environment. But what you're watching is you're watching timing, you're watching routes. And, you know, you can see that coming along with some of these guys as well. So, yeah, I think those were those are things that I've noticed. Yesterday, I focused a lot on the offensive side specifically because of James, because Josh coming back from his wedding, we hadn't seen him, you know, for a couple of weeks. I think today I'll focus a little bit more on the defensive side. Max Hairston, excuse me. Landon Jackson, Deion Walker, TJ Sanders, the new defensive lineman. And Shaq Thompson, by the way, I didn't add him in the non-participant list yesterday, but the Bills had just signed him, and he is here, but he didn't practice yesterday. We'll see about today.
He did ultimately, though, speak with the media as well, and if you want to hear any of that audio, the Odyssey app or on our website, WGR550.com. Sal, I did tease it. The AFC team, the Cincinnati Bengals. We knew yesterday, and it really was not surprising, Trey Hendrickson not in attendance. He has been very vocal about how this contract situation has been handled with him and the Bengals. The lack of communication even, I think, has been a key contributor there. Shamar Stewart, though, their rookie first-round pick, has been in attendance for all of this and spoke to me yesterday. A number of quotes from him. You know, Trey might be 99% correct, but there's that 1% because he's under contract. I'm 100% right in what I'm doing. The Bengals seem to care more about winning arguments than winning games. I mean, just it is really quite wild what is going on there. And me and Derek were talking before we even came in this morning, too, of just like from day one, they're starting this relationship with Stewart on such a bad note.
Yeah, it's bizarre to me. It really is. That's the word that kind of comes to mind. Now, when you take into consideration this organization that does, as you point out, have a history of, you know, having a reputation and these sorts of things coming up, That if you're going to pick a team, you know, that might be near the top of your list that this could happen. But I still think it's bizarre to have a rookie get drafted in the first round and having this sort of war of words. Now, you guys are too young to remember, but I remember back in the 80s and 90s, like true holdouts of rookies because you didn't have the rules you have today. You know what I mean? Like there were real holdouts. Shane Conlon was drafted by the Buffalo Bills in 1987 in the first round. And I think that was it. And he, I remember the night, like the nightly news, there would be the nightly news, the 6 o'clock news would come on. You'd wait for the sports to find out if Shane Conlon had signed his contract yet and how like, oh, he's still holding out. It's day number 12. It's day number 13. That doesn't happen anymore. We don't get that. And it's not even a holdout right now with, when it comes to Shamar Stewart, but it's just bizarre because you don't see things like this happening in the league, the way the financials are structured and the way that the NFL collective bargaining agreement works. It's just weird to me to hear a rookie come in and say these kinds of things and this war of words between him and his organization.
Yeah. And Sal, you mentioned the, like, you know, it's always been different because nowadays those picks 1 through 32, it's slotted now, those salaries. It is something like it's more or less set in stone. But the one I remember the most, former Texas running back Cedric Benson.
Yeah.
That was one of the more lengthy holdouts that I remember from a top five pick. And like, I'm just thinking about these things like, now in this day and age, like you mentioned, like you have to watch the nightly news to see if Shane Conlon signed his contract. But nowadays, if there was a holdout, we'd be hearing about it nonstop through social media in a different day and age. So I do wonder how long this is going to go with Shamar Stewart, because it can get really intense if things are not figured out quickly between him and Cincinnati.
Yeah, and I think the other point there that you're touching on is right, Derek, which is because of social media now, like these things get heightened, right? And when he talks and he has an ability, if he wants, he could go and take to social media himself. He could say what he wants. You know, you have all these different voices out there in this space and everything gets kind of like more hyped up and hyper focused on. So it's just a really weird situation. And it's been kind of trending this way with that. And then you have Trey Hendrickson on top of that, which,
right,
who knows what's going to happen. That's a fantastic player in this league who's put in the time. And, you know, the guy's had, you know, I think the most sacks in the league over the last couple of years. Shamar Stewart, he hasn't even played a down in the NFL. You have the kind of the, it's a weird, you have the juxtaposition of these two guys that are different ends of their kind of careers where this really, you know, this all pro type of player here. And I don't even know if he's made all pro, but, you know, Trey Hendrickson has put these numbers up. Shamar Stewart, who has done, he hasn't done anything in the NFL yet. He's a first round pick. And they're kind of going through the exact same thing with the exact same organization.
I did find it a little like curious that Shamar Stewart said that one thing of like, yeah, Trey Hendrickson's like 1% wrong because he's under contract. I'm not. I did find that one a little like potentially awkward, but
one thing you don't do.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout, no reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk about another player's situation.
Yeah,
that is a rule in the locker room. Other than being supportive. Yep. Like, you do that. Like, if people talk to Bills players about James Cook, hey, we support Jimbo, we love him, can't wait to get him here, right? Like, that's what you say.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You talk about another player's contract, money, even when you open the door of 1% wrong, like, that is just a no-no in the NFL.
That's
especially coming from a rookie.
That's 1% of what you should not say. And exactly 1% right. equals 100% in most locker rooms. Like, dude, what are you doing?
Right. I thought that was really curious, Derek. I'm glad you brought that up. Because in the same, like, almost the same sentence, he then went, I mean, yeah, he's got 17 and a half sacks the last two seasons. I'd pay him anything. Like, it did feel like, oh, he's trying to cover himself. He realized he shouldn't have probably said that. He's trying to cover him. But it is a... I don't want it for the Bills, but in terms of our business and the content, I'm like, all right, at least Cincinnati, like they will have a busy offseason keeping up with all of this. But Sal, thank you so much for jumping on with us today. Practice at 12:30, and there's no media afterwards, correct? There's no one necessarily speaking?
Yeah, there will be. Okay. We just don't know yet who.
Okay.
That's all. But we'll get players. We don't have – yesterday we knew it was Josh, and then we got a couple other guys, but we will get people today, but we won't know until we get down there. But so I guess surprise, right? We'll get the big reveal when we have it for you. At Sal Sports, of course, I know we'll have the audio for you at WGR550.com and on the Odyssey app.
All right, sounds good. Sal, enjoy practice. We'll talk again soon.
All right, guys, thanks.
See you, Sal. That was Sal Camacho there on the Wester Hotline.
For your sake, I hope it's Elijah Moore.
I was going to say that. Oh. I was gonna say I'm gonna be texting Sal here in the break. Hey, ask for him more. Just ask for him. I know you're gonna pay for the defense. You're gonna pay attention for the defense today, but ask for more. I did want to say real quick. So we gotta hit a break here. But the one holdout I do remember, and I think he may have ended rookie holdouts. Like, I think this is when the CBA changed. 2007, Jamarcus Russell.
Yeah,
that's the one I really remember.
That was so
remember.
Aggressive, and
he skipped training camp, missed week one, and then
he was also then so bad.
And I think that's why everyone, and also, of course, the all-time quotes, I think from, was it Lane Kiffin at the time as the OC? Or the head coach?
Head coach, yeah.
Sending him blank videotapes because they kind of had an inkling he wasn't actually studying. So they gave him those to go home, and he would come back. Yeah, I loved it. Yeah, watch the whole thing.
Ready?
And they're like, no.
That moment is part of something that is written into draft day.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man.
The $100 bill at the end of the playbook.
Oh, man.
What a movie that is.
What a movie.
It is a movie that has been brought out to the public.
We do need another like draft-oriented movie because draft day is not good, but it's all we have. We are starving. We are famished.
It is a movie that was produced.
That is absolutely correct. 803-0550, the number to call. Before we hit our next time out, though, I do want to remind you, join us in the fight against cancer by riding with Bulldog and WGR's Ride for Roswell team on Saturday, June 28th. Once you join our team, you will receive an email to pick up your team t-shirt and water bottle at Tom's Pro Bikes on Walden Avenue in Lancaster. Not a rider, you can still support the cause by donating to our team and helping us reach our goal of $10,000 before the ride. Visit WGR550.com for details. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, hanging out with you here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show, and we'll be right back. Well, we ran a little late with Sal, so we're going to have to be quick here.
Yeah, a little bit, a lot of it.
Jacksonville, they were on the practice field early today. Some news there. Brian Thomas Jr. went down for a little bit, landed badly on his shoulder.
But like Sal said, it's a good thing when a player ends up back on the field, doesn't go back in the building.
Left for a little bit, went to the sidelines, what have you. Got his helmet, though, back on the sidelines. That is something.
That's a little bit of a scare.
Especially with what that offense can be with him, Travis Hunter, maybe Trevor Lawrence with Liam Cohen now in the building. Look, I'm buying a lot of Jacksonville stock. In terms of what I think they could do in the AFC South, that would have been something that would have absolutely crushed that. Because I just don't know about Trevor Lawrence being able to be an effective quarterback if not his best receivers goes down before even training camp. That'd have been a really, really tough sell for me. But all signs appear to be good for him. 803-0550, the number to call. We do have finals action tonight. We had the night off yesterday, but the NBA is back tonight, 8:30. Oklahoma City and Indiana. The series moves to Indiana with a tied 1-1. OKC really running away with it in game two. We'll talk that. Stanley Cup Finals, more on the NFL as well. If you want to join the conversation, again, the number 803-0550 is the way to join. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, along with you for the next hour. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout, no reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor.
serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.